It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, the coaching perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be with you here in studio today. We are going to have a great show. Our guest for today is Priscilla Steffen. Her topic is the cutting-edge approach to leadership nobody is talking about. And she's going to be sharing with us, among other things, her assessment tool, Leading from Your Soul Archetype, and how by embracing and embodying your natural strengths and leadership style to lead at the soul level, you can create a more successful business and have a global impact on others. Well, let me give you a little bit of her background. We'll ask her, but let me. Some of this is so impressive, I know she's not going to say it, so I'll read it. She is a certified, I should have asked you how to pronounce that, Priscilla.
Akashic record reader.
Akashic record reader. You can tell me what that means later. Under the Soul Journey Method, she's an NLP practitioner and a healthy living expert certified by the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. She also holds a master's degree from Columbia University, a BA from NYU, and is a graduate of Tony Robbins Mastery University. She speaks three languages, loves to travel, is passionate about helping women business owners shine brightly, live their truth, and love their lives. She is, and I love this phrasing, an intuitive business strategist. Really, whoever put together intuitive and strategist? So we're going to talk about that. And Leading from Your Soul Facilitator. She helps her clients who are self-proclaimed rebels and visionaries step into their next level of leadership and to create more freedom, profit, and ease in their life. Through her powerful intuitive work, Priscilla provides laser-focused clarity, guidance, and strategy so her clients can turbocharge their business and make the impact they're here to make. Her holistic approach to success allows her clients to live their dream lifestyle while sharing their brilliance and embodying their purpose with joy and confidence. Wow. Priscilla, welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show.
Thank you, Doug. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. I mean, I had the opportunity to go on your website. You let me take your assessment, and I enjoyed doing that and browsing through your website, and we'll make sure everybody knows where to go. You have a great website and some wonderful videos.
Thank you. I try. I'm very visual, so I like pretty things.
Oh, good. Then we're together on this. I'm very verbal. Well, look, let's get started with finding out a little bit more about you other than what I read here. What did you do before your current business?
I had two other careers. It's been a long journey. So I started out as an environmental policy person. I went to grad school for international environmental policy work, and I worked for World Wildlife Fund, WWF, the original one, not the wrestling one.
I was just going to go there.
I said that, people, so I did that for 5 years, and then I worked for the Inter-American Development Bank, also in D.C., which is like the Latin American version of the World Bank. And got burned out and bored after a decade of that. So then I started a fashion jewelry business for 3 years, which was nice, but wasn't quite it. Closed it down and spent 5 years trying to figure out what the hell am I going to do with my life. It was not a fun time. I had no idea. And then after being fired twice from two jobs I should not have been in to begin with in a year, I took a sabbatical for a year, which I had the ability to do, and uncovered health coaching as a profession, and I went to Tony Robbins' university program, which is a year, just personal development, and figuring out what am I going to do now. I was 36, I think, at the time, and I had no idea what I was going to do, and it was exciting and terrifying. And then as I went to nutrition school, I was like, okay, I'll be a health coach. I did it first for me because I had emotional eating issues. I could easily eat a whole chocolate cake. I think most women can if you let them. And I'd obsess about food a lot. And so I said, well, maybe, you know, if I learn about food and the body, it'll help me. And then I ended up helping women with that. But it turns out that food is never the problem, right? It's just the symptom. And so women often were eating because they were unfulfilled in their lives, specifically in their careers. And so I ended up doing career coaching more than, you know, health coaching. And I loved that. And then it wasn't until... I knew it wasn't it because I didn't love talking about kale or even careers. It was good, but it wasn't the it. I like talking about the chocolate part, not the kale part. And then I realized that there was still something missing. I was just kind of waiting on the horizon to see what would present itself as the next step. And then I came across this tool called the Akashic Records, which I'm happy to spend a moment on. And it blew my world open. And it's... And then I learned that I could get certified in this modality to kind of tap into the soul of a person and the soul of anything that has consciousness, right? And the soul of a business, of an event, of a country, of a group, of a couple. And after doing it, I don't know if it was 100 or 200 like practice sessions, you know, when you just want to build your confidence quickly. Yeah. I had to do 20 practice sessions. I did at least 100 in about 2 months. I was just like, okay, you bring me people. I'll just do free sessions. And I realized that I had a particular knack for helping people get clarity on their business and their business vision direction with very detailed, just with a lot of specificity on everything from the URL for their business, sometimes their tagline, their programs, their offers, you know, the vision, systems, team building, money, visibility blocks. And I was like, wow, I think it's time to go to the next iteration of my business. And that's what I did. I rebranded from a health coach to become an intuitive business strategist, where I combine the spiritual and soul channeling and the soul strategy with the business strategy and coaching to help people implement and get over their own fears and, you know how to do the step-by-steps. And so that's really what differentiates me. I provide the clarity and the soul alignment piece and then the step-by-step support so people actually implement that soul vision that is presented to them, and so that they do it in a way that is practical and tangible and profitable and fun.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, tell me a little bit about this records reader. What is that?
Right. So,
what does that mean?
The Akashic Records. Akasha means ether in Sanskrit, and so what it means is the Akashic Records are like your soul records in the ether. Think of it this way: a library of your soul that contains everything about your soul since it was ever created. You know, since your soul's inception, and God knows when that is. And so, every thought, every lifetime, every experience, every desire is contained within this space in the ether. And so when you learn to access your own records, right, your own soul records or the soul records of someone else, you gain access to so much clarity and information to help you really have direction in your life, to have a sense of purpose and fulfillment and joy, and also to learn the lessons that you're here to learn in this lifetime, whatever they may be. It's not predictive, it's not psychic per se, but it is here to give you direction and clarity and to support you in your soul's growth. And so it's an ability. I mean, we all have the ability. We all have psychic abilities, intuitive abilities of our own. There's nothing particularly special about me. I do have a particular knack, maybe a gift, you could say, for reading the records specifically as it pertains to business. I don't do well with relationships or health reading. Like, I'm really not good at those. But I'm good at the business side and purpose side and the vision side of what's next. So it's not like you'll go meditate under a tree for 5 days and you'll get the answer. It's like, okay, here's the vision, here are the next steps to do it, and then let's go and put that into motion.
Now, how does that tie into, or explain for me, how does it tie into either, if I just say I use my intuition, or tie into coaching where I'm helping people look at things from a deeper, different perspective? Are those pieces of what you're talking about, or are they...
Yes. Yeah, I think that the soul, I, the way I describe it is that we are all designed with a blueprint, what I call a soul blueprint of how we come into this lifetime in terms of our gifts and our purpose and the options of what's possible for us to create. So when I open up the records and I channel information for people, it's really tapping into already that roadmap that's already contained within our energy field, within our being. And our intuition is that gut feeling, that sense, that inner knowing, that I think is that our soul speaking to us in many ways, you know, that inspiration, that moment of magic. But I think intuition and soul are a bit different. Okay. The soul is a much more expansive, vast, infinite, eternal. It's that divine part of ourselves, and I think our intuition is that that nudge, that voice that we hear that our soul is talking to us, which is this divine space of truth and love and all knowingness.
Okay, I'm sure we're going to get more into that, but that was a great description. Now, what about your current business model? Who do you work with, and how do they find you, and what do you like to do?
Yeah, so the people I'm working with now is shifting, which is exciting. The people that have been drawn to me usually are coaches that are beginning their own coaching practice, 0 to 3 years in the beginning. So it could be life, health coaches a lot, spiritual coaches, life coaches, and so they come from scratch. They're like, I want to build, you know, have this urge and this desire to help people, and I went to life coaching school or what have you, or I've went to health coaching school. Now what? And so then we get them to figure out their business model, what they're going to offer, who they want to work with, what is their specialty. And then build an online presence, a website, a brand, a message, you know, so the messaging, the marketing, the mindset, all of that. And I also provide that soul aspect, that soul clarity and alignment piece, because I believe that as a soul, we already have within us that blueprint that informs a lot of the questions that we usually have, like, how do I do this? And what's next? And why do I feel called to do this or work with these people versus that? Or why does this not work for me versus other people? It's already contained within us. So I always believe that we have all the answers within us. If we can't tap into it ourselves, then there are people like me that can help you kind of pull that information out. Now I'm transitioning to working with business owners that are, they can still be coaches, but also what I call conscious women leaders and entrepreneurs that are not coaches. They're already established. They're probably making, you know, very good money, and they're very inspiring and visionary, and they're looking for that next big vision for their career, for their business, for their legacy. They're leaders in their own right, and they're trying to figure out, okay, what's next? And then I help them with that vision to figure out what that next thing is. And it's usually a project, an offering, a realignment maybe of the business, or it could be adding a whole other segment to their business, or starting a whole secondary business. It really depends. And then we look at their lifestyle. We look at leverage. We look at what do they want? What matters to them, so that the business is a reflection of their true priorities and values at this stage in their life, and also what they're looking to create in a bigger level in terms of impact and revenue, and the people that they really want to help. And many are also looking at that greater good aspect. They don't want to just, you know, they're making good money, they have a good business, but they're like, okay, now what? There has to be more than this. And there's an aspect of the greater good that they're excited about. And we look at philanthropy, or how are they going to affect the lives of others, and how does their business affect the lives of others? And this whole concept of leading from your soul and soul leadership is about that sense of contribution that is a win-win-win, not just for you, but for your business and for the collective, for the greater good, right?
I love that. It's not just about the money. It's about making this a better environment for everyone.
The people that I work with, you know, they're often called, you know, purpose-driven or mission-driven or conscious entrepreneurs, meaning that they're in business for something greater than themselves.
It doesn't sound like it's too far from where you started with your training to protect the environment.
That is true. It's funny. It's a good analogy. It's funny because I always had this bigger thing that I wanted to contribute to, you know, to saving the world, which I don't like that expression, but, you know, to make creating a healthier planet and a more sustainable planet. I like the word sustainability. And it's about you know, the collective consciousness and teaching, inspiring people to open up to new possibilities. I think that's what really inspires me, is that I truly believe that anything is possible, and I want people to know that in their bones, that no matter where they're coming from or what circumstances they've been in or what they've had to encounter, that they can live their dreams, they can have a life that, you know, live a life that feels on purpose and that reflects what matters most to them. You know, it may take a while, it may take some iterations. I mean, for me, I had to get it right. Maybe this is the third or the fourth time, depending, because this is my third career, you know, second business, and this is like the second version of the second business. It's constantly evolving, right? And that's the thing, you don't need to have all the answers. I don't think we do. You just take action, and then that action informs the next action, and that gives you clarity. So if you've been just waiting, feeling stuck, just thinking, well, what am I going to, like, I just need to wait for the answers, or when I meditate and I'm going to have that eureka moment, okay, meditate and put your feet to the ground and go take action. Go to a networking event. Go talk to someone. You know, pick up the phone. Do something. Write a blog. I don't know. So that can generate every action generates more creation, more possibility. But if you're in inaction, or stagnant, energy can't move or create.
You know, I love, and I don't mean this to sound disrespectful, but I love the sort of, somebody might be listening to what you're saying and go, oh, that's that woo-woo stuff, you know, it's way out there.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, what you're doing is you're tying it to real concrete actions, results, real business problems, issues, branding, marketing. What are you doing? And I don't see that very often. You know, people tend to go in one direction or the other rather than put them together.
Yeah, well, I believe that energy is everything. Everything is energy. Let's start from that, right? We are an energetic being. You know, everything has consciousness and an energy about them. And so I think that when we disregard that truth, we're discounting a lot of possibility for ourselves and how we can co-create with the universe. But listen, business is about practicality. It's about money. It's about action steps. It's about momentum. It's creation. It's not just about a prayer and a hope and a wish. I mean, it's really gets you to focus on really matters, you know, and if you don't bring in the revenue, you don't make money.
Well, let me ask you the question that all coaches want the answer to. How do you find your clients, or how do they find you?
Yeah, so for me, the way that I found them is organic Facebook posts, believe it or not. I post when I feel inspired. I also have a blog, a newsletter that I send out every week almost. And so I have a list that I engage with, and networking events or events, you know, when people meet me in person, and referrals from past clients. And I always tell people, even if you're just starting out and you're just waiting for your first client, that first client is already within your database, right? It's that, is that 6 degrees of separation, or sometimes it's 1 degree of separation. My first health coaching client was a friend of mine. She paid me $25 for the hour. and I was so excited, and as was she, and we worked together off and on for almost a year. It wasn't really health coaching. It was more like life coaching and career coaching, as it turned out. And it really helped her, you know, and now she's, you know, she wanted to become a writer, and she's writing, and she's really transitioned a lot. But I started at $25 an hour, right?
Okay, so those of you in the audience, that's not where she's at today.
No. But I started somewhere, you know, and it was just like she was kind of like a trial client. I remember I met her in person. She happened to be in New York at the time, although she lived in Philadelphia, and I lived in New York at the time. And so I remember I met with her in her hotel room, and my knees were literally knocking. And she was a friend, but I was like, oh, my gosh, she's going to see right through me. She's going to think I'm an idiot. She's going to think I don't know what I'm doing. She's going to change her mind. But no, I mean, I just sometimes you just have to confront that fear and say, it's okay, it's going to be okay. I mean, she's looking for the help. I knew I could help her. So I just did.
Wonderful. Well, look, there's a question we've asked everybody who's been on the show. What is your guiding principle? What's the true north? What holds
truth?
What's constant for you?
My truth, that inner knowing of what's true for me. And it's just a knowing. Right? I think we all, I always tell people, you know more than you give yourself credit for. And what you need is already within you. That's why I talk about the soul and leading from the soul and doing business from the soul. It's from doing stuff from the inside out, right? Sometimes we look so much outside of ourselves for the answers, and there's a time and a place, right? For us, people that hire us, coaches, to give them guidance. Right. But I'm not a guru telling you what to do or follow a formula. I'm here to guide and teach you and support you to connect to the answers that you're in, the inner knowing that you already have within you, right? And so that's what I think, is just like to follow what's true for me.
Wonderful. Well, look, the producer's waving at me. He wants to run another one of those fascinating, exciting commercials. So we'll be right back. And we're back. Well, look, Priscilla, let's talk about today's topic, the cutting-edge approach to leadership nobody's talking about. That's intriguing. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so there are some people talking about this similar topic, but it is not, I think, quite mainstream, and it is about leading from your soul and soul leadership, and it really is about leading from within. I think that many times when we think about leadership, we think about, we have a lot of ideas of what leadership looks like, right? At least for me, I was like, oh, I'm not a leader, and you have to have a lot of experience or be masterful at something or be famous or acknowledged, you know, very accomplished. I've heard many people say you've got to be perfect and you've got to have all these skills, like leadership skills and communication skills. And I think that's all valid, but I think the paradigm of the cutting edge of leadership today is your soul, is looking within, knowing who you are as a person, your values, your priorities, what matters to you, acknowledging, embracing, and embodying your natural gifts, you know, soul gifts, and being willing to align with them and put them to work in whatever you feel your contribution to the planet is. And in my book, that is being channeled in the Akashic Records, that led to this whole body of work on leading from your soul and the leading from your soul archetype assessment, is that leadership is defined as contribution. And what I love about that is that it is simple, profound, and egalitarian. So that means that the janitor, the homeless person, the guy flipping burgers at your favorite joint, a teacher, a CEO, your friend Paul here, we're all leaders, like a mother, a dad, a friend. We're all leaders because we are all contributing every day. And so what I love about this concept of leadership, or this lens through which we get to see leadership, is that it's not something outside of us, because we're already doing it. We're already there. And then it's just a question of, are you willing to embrace the leader within? And then leadership is, and soul leadership, or leading from your soul, is about taking a stand for something that you believe in, right? And taking responsibility for the life that you're looking to create. And then being that invitation to step into contributing for something that's bigger than yourself. We can call it the greater good, the collective, the planet consciousness. It doesn't really matter. And so it's about acknowledging that you are a leader already, and that you do make an impact in the world. And then if you want to amplify that with a message or a stand or a business or an organization or a family or however it ends up looking like, then you get to have that choice. But it's not outside yourself. It's not something you need to acquire. It's something that you just, if you choose, get to acknowledge, embrace, and amplify. Again, if it feels timely and true for you.
You know, while you were saying that, the thought that came to my mind is sort of the life cycle of businesses. And you think of an entrepreneurial business, a startup business in the garage, all of the things that a startup has to put up with, but it makes it because there's a vision, there's a passionate desire to accomplish something. And then you fast forward to the more mature state of the company, and it becomes all about skill sets. It becomes about how good are you at leading meetings, how good are you at communicating, how good are you at delegating, all of the, which are not to say those aren't important, but the priority shifts. And that sounds to me, that's kind of the thought I had as you were talking about this, that we many times lose that initial leadership, passion, direction that we have in our soul, as you're talking about, and it gets overwhelmed with the mechanics of leadership.
Yeah, I definitely can. And I think, so this is really about stripping, this definition of leadership as contribution is stripping it down to a very fundamental and simple, profound way. It's simply contribution. And so I think that is very expansive and possibility ridden in that it's an invitation to say, you're already doing amazing things. And do you want to do something else with it? Do you want to expand that? You don't have to. But many of us, especially at this day and age, more than ever, and I don't think it's a coincidence that I was given this body of work about 6 months ago, and it's still evolving. It hasn't been done yet because the book isn't done, is that I think many of us are feeling a call to rise, right? A call to action to wake up to the fact that we do matter, that we do have a voice, that we can make a difference, that we're not just one person in a sea of many, and that we're not ready or good enough or perfect enough or all the fill in the blanks enough. The point is, you are enough. You are ready now because you're already contributing. And so I think it's an empowering invitation to say, okay, there is no excuse. You don't have to do anything because life is all about free will and choice. But if you do feel a calling to do something, what can that be? And I'll give you an example is that I think many times as business owners or just people, we're like, oh, one day when I have more money or I have more time, I'll volunteer or I'll give money to a charity, right? And I was at an event about last October, and this woman was talking about philanthropy and business and how to really incorporate philanthropy in your business from the get-go. And I think sometimes when you start out in business, you're just so overwhelmed with just, you know, getting your first clients and, right, you know, it can be much, but there's still always an opportunity if it feels like a priority and it feels expansive and light for you at the moment to say, okay, well, I can give $20 to a charity a month, or I can, you know, volunteer my time, or I can go support a friend in some way, right? And sometimes it's not just even an organization. Like, I had a friend who had breast cancer. I went through a lot of treatment. And so many of her friends locally were going to take her to treatments. I mean, that's leadership, right? That's stepping up. That's being a stand for something and just showing up, you know, and it's being a stand for something and going all in. And it doesn't mean that your life has to go upside down. It just means that you show up for yourself, because leadership always starts with yourself. And then you show up for others or whatever you believe in, and it can look any which way you desire, and it can, you know, increase or morph as you gain more clarity, as you evolve. But it's been interesting. I mean, I've begun tithing to different charities, you know, a little bit every month. I just I feel the calling or something shows up. And this next week I'm going to be doing a talk in San Diego, where I live, for survivors of domestic violence, women. And it's, I just got invited and like a 2-day retreat. I'm like, of course, why not? Right? How cool is that? Right? So that giving back aspect. So the point is that with the definition of leadership as contribution, it's like, you're ready now, you can help now. Where would you like to go and play the game of contribution?
So, okay. So I love what you're saying. If I'm a person out there who says, oh, great, so I don't have to learn all this stuff to be a leader. I am a leader, but I don't feel like a leader. How do you work with your clients so that they can tap into that?
Well, I personally don't resonate with the word leader or leadership, to be honest.
Okay, well.
Yeah, I mean.
That was a surprise.
Yeah, well, I mean, this body of work was given to me, right? I never thought I would be talking about leadership. And I'll be frank, sometimes I don't think that I know what I'm talking about, right? I'm the conveyor of a body of work that was channeled through me for the greater good, right? And I took a stand for it and for myself. And I was like, okay, this work wants to show up, and here it is. Now, so back to leadership, and I think it's, I find the word still, and this is just my point of view, grandiose and intimidating, and like me, a leader, I still don't think of that you know, so I don't resonate with the word and the energy of it, but I do resonate with contribution and giving back and supporting the greater good. So sometimes it's just a question of changing the word and what it represents to you. It can be impact, it can be greater good, changing the planet, consciousness, awakening. People resonate to different things. But the bottom line is you're helping make something better. Right? You're giving of yourself, of your time, your energy, your skill set, because everyone has innate gifts. And that's the beauty of the Leading From Your Soul Archetype Assessment body of work, is that it helps you get clear on what you are naturally designed as a soul. What is your core motivation to create change? Because we're all here designed to help create change. And then what are the core innate gifts that you use, the primary ones, the dominant ones, to create the change? And then there are strengths and challenges and the shadow side that come with each archetype profile. And it's not to limit or label you with the archetypes, but it is a fun tool to play with and say, yeah, that does sound like me. And we have all of the five dominant categories within us, but we are naturally designed to lead from a specific one or two. And so it's just about just... why make leadership so serious and so grandiose and such a big deal? What if you're just like, dude, I can do this stuff. Let me go help. You know, my fiance loves to volunteer at political campaigns because he's very much an activist. So what he does, he's good techie and he does web stuff. And so he would help do the back end or database stuff for political campaigns, you know, because that's his gift. I couldn't do that. I suck at it, right? So it's like you're naturally, you know, and sometimes remember, like we can't see what we're naturally good at. So if you can't, ask your, you know, family or friends, like, what do you think I'm good at? They'll tell you. And then go use that however you want. You know, just don't, it doesn't have to be some, oh, you know, I guess I'm a good listener. I guess I've got to be a psychologist. No, you can be a coach, a counselor, a friend, a safe place to turn for someone that's just, you know, just needs to have someone to listen to them. So it can go a million different ways.
You know, I love the message of do it now. You know, there's a book I really like. It's by Bob Buford, and it's called Halftime. Mm-hmm. And his theme in the book is that you've been successful in your life, and now is the time to go do something significant. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he meant this, but the way I looked at it, the way I read it, was successful. That's sort of I've achieved a reputation, I've made money, I've created a business. It's sort of material evaluation. And then he talks about, but do something that's significant, which is, how do you give back? How do you help others? And it's a shame that his book, at least my take on it, is so often geared for people who are in their second half of their life, who are retired from the material side of their business, their career, and looking for a way to give back. And what you're talking about is this contribution definition is start now. There's no reason to wait.
Well, yeah, because you already are doing it. And I would say, I mean, I get what he's saying about significant, but significant can make things significant or grandiose, or like it's got to look a certain way, right? And so I would say, what if leadership or contribution is just generative in the sense that it creates more beyond yourself, right? And that can be as simple as reading to a child in a library too. Because remember, every action creates a reaction and a ripple effect that we can't even always imagine, right? And leading from your soul and soul leadership is about understanding that every action that you take in a company, in a business, or as a way of contributing has a ripple effect. And it's about thinking about that supply chain, that chain of command, you know, what, you know, all the people that will be impacted by, you know, my coming and talking to you today. Maybe something shows up in someone's mind, or maybe someone has a conversation with a spouse, or maybe someone decides to Google something, or being a coach, or maybe they, I don't know. I mean, we have no idea, but the point is that us showing up to do something, and this, of course, you can say, well, Priscilla, you're promoting yourself. Yes, and this is not the only aspect of what I'm doing, right? What I'm sharing is still a contribution. And I think part of it, too, is just acknowledging, because we're so conditioned sometimes to be humble, or I'm not good enough, or there's so many more people going to comparison, like I'm not ready or good enough, that we discount what we're already good at. Stop it. Don't do that. That does not create more. What will create, I love this question, what will create more in any situation? And then choose that. And if it feels light and expansive, it's always going to be true for you. And if it feels heavy and contracting, it's always a lie. So follow the energy of the lightness and allow that to guide you in terms of your choices. And, you know, truth, is it time for you to contribute right now? And what could that look like? And look, I believe in the Maslow, you know, hierarchy of needs.
Sure.
I mean, if you don't have a place to live, you know, yeah, take care of yourself first, because I think leadership always starts with yourself. I don't believe in martyrs or victimhood. I think that's just nonsense. But once you kind of got your needs met, you know, and even then, like, you know, even if you're having a hard time, you can still share a meal, you can still share your ear, you know, a helping hand. You can always contribute. Contribution is always present.
You know, I always think of that warning they give you as you get on the airplane and it gets ready to take off, which is when the oxygen masks drop, if they should, first put yours on before you take care of the child. Which sounds so contradictory to what you would want to do. But the message is what you're saying, and I really believe it. If we don't take care of ourselves, we certainly can't help others.
We can't. And I think this false notion that it's noble to do that and to prove that you care about other people, who says that it has to be an either-or equation? No. And what's the matter with, I mean, I don't believe it is selfish, but even if people think, oh, but it's selfish to think about yourself, well, does it really create more for you to not be selfish and to put yourself last? It doesn't. You know, I think it's about choosing ourselves, choosing for us, and making sure that we are included in the life and the business and the impact and the contribution that we're looking to make.
You talk about your five archetypes. You want to talk about that?
Yes.
I love taking your assessment.
I know, and we have it here, so it's a good reminder. So the Leading From Your Soul archetype assessment is a way for you to self-identify your natural leadership style and your innate gifts and motivations to contribute. Right? Leadership and contribution here are interchangeable, right? And so in the body of work, there are actually 28 individual archetypes that are very detailed and nuanced to help you understand your challenges and your strengths, your motivations, and how you lead both as an individual and within an organization. Now, since 28 is a big number to help people identify,
right,
and you can only know your 28 at this moment by working with me privately and eventually in the book, the 28 were condensed and encapsulated into five categories. And so there's the mystic, that is the light worker, you know, and then there is the visionary, which is the rule breaker. They're all about innovation and breaking the rules and changing the status quo. And then there's the strategist, which is the rule follower. And all of these are visionary in their own way, but the strategist is about innovation, but they follow the rules. Think of a scientist, you know, they have to follow the laws of science and the rules of science, right? Or laws of the land, like laws of the country, right, the constitution, and even people in academia or the judicial system. And then there is the explorer, which is the adventurer, and they're all about using their imagination and traveling. And then there's the divine feminine, which is the catalyst, and the divine feminine uses her charm and beauty and powers of seduction, really, to create community and to instigate change in a really powerful way. And you, when you took the assessment, identified yourself primarily as the strategist, the rule follower. And so the thing about the rule follower is that they use reason and logic and systems and procedures to create new advancements. Does that resonate for you, Doug, in terms of how you do things?
Yeah. I mean, it was hard to judge between two of them. I forgot what the two
were.
Yes.
Yeah. So you were almost, so in terms of, it was like 1 to 5 was the, you know, 5 being this is definitely me, 1 is like definitely not me. You scored a 4 for the visionary, which is the rule breaker, and a 5 for the strategist, which is the rule follower. So you're a rule breaker and a rule follower.
Well, I think I'd like to think of myself as a rule breaker, but but at the same time, while I follow rules, I probably would say I don't feel constrained by them.
Right.
I'm not going to create a problem.
Right.
But I'm not going to let the rule keep me from what I think could be achieved.
Yes. And so the difference is that, well, you know, the visionary and the strategist are both about innovation. It's how they go about it, right? So the visionary is a rule breaker, sees rules as something to be broken, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's about going beyond the status quo, going beyond what people accept is acceptable. And the rule follower, the strategist, is one that says the rules are in place to get me to the next advancement, to the next thing. We need to follow these systems and these processes in order to get to the desired outcome. And they use logic and data and systems and procedures. And so it's not just their outcome is innovation, but how they go about doing it is different, right? The strategist is about using.
I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, and the visionary is very different from the strategist in that the visionary is about everything is outside the box. They're doing everything that goes against the grain, and they're pioneers and trailblazers. I mean, they're like, screw everything that everyone's doing. We're going to do something completely different. So everyone's going left. We're going to go right. They're passionate, and they're very hungry to create movements and create an activist. Usually I think of strategists as my common thought is like a scientist. It doesn't have to be, but a scientist is going to be very different, like an Elon Musk, for example, that created Tesla.
Right.
I mean, maybe he does have a lot of, there's a lot of engineering, I guess, and rules to follow with what he does, but I just think of them as different because in my mind, this is a simple way to think about it. But it's a great way to look at yourself a little
bit. Now, once someone takes your assessment and identifies this, now, how do I use this information? What is the next step?
Well, I think once they take the assessment and they self-assess, then you get a short training video from me and a little bit more information.
Your training videos were wonderful.
Yes, thank you. And then you get a little bit of a deeper profile of each of these archetypes. And then there are specific questions to help you gain more clarity about, for example, if you are a mystic, mystics usually are very plagued with self-doubt and low self-confidence, and they tend to have issues with money, right? They are afraid of charging. So there will always be questions to help you say, for example, as a mystic, are you using your intuitive and creative gifts in your business and in your career right now? If not, why not? So it gets you to probe a little bit deeper. So, okay, you're kind of hardwired as a mystic to use your intuitive healing and creative gifts in your life as a way to create change.
Okay.
But mystics sometimes are afraid of their intuitive gifts, right? They're afraid of being judged, of, being burned at the stake. It can be some serious crap that comes up. And so, but if you're denying or dismissing or disconnected from core parts of how you're designed as a soul, it's hard for you to really make the full level of impact that you can because you're not using all of your core gifts and bringing them to the table. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, is this these questions what your coaching is about, to work with somebody on this, or are these questions a part of the assessment that you provide?
Well, they're a part of the assessment, so you get to learn a bit more.
I didn't go that far.
Well, that's coming. That's part. I mean, once you sign up, you're going to get a series of emails. Not many, but that will help you in little bits and pieces to go a little bit deeper. But then even then, as I was given, is that each of these archetypes has a different profile as it relates to their relationship to money, to being a CEO, to leadership, and to their lifestyle and self-care. And so you can go deeper and deeper and deeper and say, okay, if I'm a mystic, what does that mean in terms of my relationship to myself and to money, in terms of the kind of CEO that I am, in terms of the kind of leader that I am, and how do I take care of myself and create boundaries? So it goes down to the more tangible, nitty-gritty ways of how you're designed, how you operate, your belief system, how your gifts and your leadership style. Mystics are very often intuitive, empathic, sensitive to people. And so sometimes they don't know how to handle themselves or in different situations, or they don't know how to handle their gifts. You know, they haven't come out of the spiritual closet many times. So they're like, well, I don't know what to do. And they're really afraid. I mean, I still come across this too. I'm like, well, what if someone thinks, you know, like I'm an idiot, or like I'm ridiculous, or that I don't know what I'm talking about. And there might be that, you know, it comes with the, you know, comes with the territory. But it is an evolution, you know, it's kind of like you coming into your own as a person and as a soul. And I think that this is like one more tool to help you get to know yourself better, ultimately.
And that is the ultimate objective here.
Yes.
Is that right? That the more I will, the more I understand myself.
Yes.
The better I will be able to help others.
Yeah, starting with yourself and how you show up and the choices that you make. And just the happier you'll be. I mean, mystics that are afraid of their own gifts, I can feel taunted or scared or just disconnected or just suppressing parts, key parts of their gifts. And it's okay if they don't want to use them, but acknowledging what they, the gifts they do have, and then making a conscious choice to use them can go a long way, you know, so you're not avoiding or hiding from yourself, you know.
Okay.
So
when you label yourself as an intuitive business strategist.
Right.
How does that go over with your clients? Is it, I mean, you know, you're talking to hardcore business people that may be less than willing, less than used to pairing up the word intuitive with being strategic.
Well, I think that good marketing is one that repels the people that are like, yuck, and that magnetizes the people that go, yeah, they lean in and go, yeah, what is that? And so the intuitive part is their own purpose, A, because it's an accurate descriptor, but also, if that's not your jam, then you're not going to want to talk to me. And that's great, because I don't want to talk to you. because there's no point. I'm not here to convince people. The people that like me, they like the spiritual approach. Because you were asking me, what's the value of this assessment? It gets you to stop trying to be someone you're not and to acknowledge and embrace who you really are. Because then there's so much more freedom for you to exist in the world.
One of the more difficult things I found about taking your assessment was, as I was taking it and had to identify which style, which archetype I was most familiar with, it was sort of like, well, I want to be that one.
Yes.
But I know that's not me. But I really always wanted to be that.
Well, that's why, I cheated here today, right? Because when you take the assessment, I don't give you the actual name of the archetype. I give you the descriptor of the archetype. And on purpose, because we want to be something, you know, that we think is cool and not something that we don't think is cool.
Right.
But we all have all of these archetypes within us, you know, and it's okay. And this is just an assessment. You know, it's not the end all be all.
It's the start of a conversation.
It's the start of a conversation, of a deeper exploration.
Okay. You talk about legacy. Tell me a little bit about what you mean there, legacy for your business. How does thinking about your legacy impact your business?
I think that they're interconnected, and sometimes people come to this conversation at different levels in their business or awareness and consciousness. But this goes back to, what kind of a contribution do you want to leave on the planet after you leave and while you're here? And so it goes back to contribution. What is that impact that matters to you? What do you want the world to know? What do you want to shift in terms of awareness? What innovation or products or services or ways of thinking, like an iPhone, right, is something that we couldn't have imagined, I don't know, a decade or so ago. And, you know, it's just like things that really change how we perceive things. And so that's a legacy, right? That's a contribution that extends beyond ourselves. Or it's something that grows, that has a life of its own, that is beyond us. And so I think it's interesting, as we're thinking about business, we don't, you know, we can do, you know, business that just makes money, and not just, but just, you know, that makes money and we're happy with that. But many of us aren't content with that. And that's where the conscious or enlightened, you know, entrepreneur comes in. That idea is that the mission purpose-driven entrepreneur is looking to do something greater within their business than just make money.
You know, I don't remember where I got the idea, but someplace along the line, I think it was when I first started coaching, someone mentioned to me and said, you need to write your eulogy. Mm. And sounded kind of morbid to me at the time. But I happened to run across a writing that, when I read it, I said, that's what I'd like somebody to say about me. That's what I'd like to feel that mm-hmm. I had accomplished when it was over. Mm-hmm. And so I've adopted it as my eulogy. But really, it could also be my mission statement, whatever, my vision, because I find I frequently read it to go, am I behaving consistent with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Is that, and that's what I interpret as legacy.
Yeah, and I think also the living legacy, meaning living your legacy in the day-to-day, is about alignment, right? It goes back
yes.
to, is your actions a reflection and in alignment with what matters to you and with your priorities? Because then that actually takes away a lot of the nonsense and the chatter and the busyness, and you focus, okay, I say that this matters to me, and I say I want to create this, and is my business model, is the way I'm operating and showing up in the world and with people that I care about in alignment with that? And if not, then you can change that.
Mm-hmm. Last question I've got here for you. Joy. Mm-hmm. What does joy have to do with business? Come on. Are we going to start having parties on Fridays and a
yes.
beer keg open in the
yes.
rec room?
Huh? Well, soul leadership is a new paradigm in business, which is about it's about consciousness, and it's about actually the body of work in the book. It also specifically says that joy is the new benchmark for leadership and for success. So cultivating joy is a path to freedom, to impact and leadership and wealth and the greater good. Because when you're joyful, that again has a very powerful energetic ripple effect.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about changing paradigms and ways of looking of how we're, who we're being and what we're doing. And I mean, isn't it upside down that we would think that we would be building businesses and changing lives and all of that and being miserable? Like, who had that stupid idea? Why not be happy? Isn't that the whole, like, in our constitution to be, you know, we the people deserve to be damn happy? So let's be happy. Let's be joyful. Why not? Why has it not been the default from the beginning? And so this is a new approach because, again, it gets us very focused on what really matters. And we cut out all the noise and the busyness and all the shoulds and all the loud voices from other people telling us what to do. And we know what makes us happy. It might be a work in progress and evolving, but you know what gives you joy. So choose that in your business. Choose joy in your philanthropy. Choose joy for your clients and for your team, and see what that will create. Because, you know, so truth, if you choose joy as a benchmark for your leadership and your business and your company culture, will that create more? Probably it will.
You know, I haven't used the word joy, but frequently when I'm working with senior executives, I tell them, it's up to you. It's your responsibility to create a job description that gives you energy.
Yes.
Take everything out of it that doesn't give you energy. You
yes.
shouldn't be spending your time on it because you're probably not doing it well anyhow.
Yes, it's that word generative, you know, and look it up in the dictionary. Generative is something that creates more, right? It continues
yeah.
to give. It's that gift that gives on giving. But if it's misery inducing, it's kind of like that law of diminishing returns. It's probably the only thing I remember from microeconomics, right? You know, why would you do that? That just doesn't, it's just, you know, doesn't make business sense.
Wonderful. Well, look, we're running out of time here, and I want to make sure that you've had a chance to cover everything you wanted to cover. Is there something else you'd like to be sure to get in that I have passed over?
Believe in yourself. Trust that you know more than you give yourself credit for. And if you need help, you know, trust your gut and find someone that can help you. And if you're curious about the assessment and what you are and what that can mean for you and your next vision or your business or deeper understanding of yourself, you can just go to my website at PriscillaStephan.com, and the opt-in on the homepage is to take the Discover Your Leading from Your Soul Archetype, and you can take the assessment. It takes 8 minutes. It's a self-identification audio, and then when you opt in, you will get the table and more details to help you go deeper. And then if you want to learn more, you can always just email me, Priscilla@PriscillaStephan.com, and I'm happy to talk to you and see how I can help.
Wonderful. And, you know, when I went to your website, I read that. It said, oh, there's not going to be any cost here, but it's going to take 8 minutes. And I went, oh, yeah, do I have 8 minutes, you know? But which is really ridiculous, but I really enjoyed taking it. I mean, I was not watching the clock.
But, you know, that's on purpose, Doug, because I don't want, this is not, like I tell people, oh, I have, you know, oh, this cute little, you know, sparkly nail polish. I'm going to try this on. And then, and then you go off about your day. This is about you being, this is for the person that's, you know, cares and is interested and feels like this speaks to them. And if you don't take it on this on the page when you get to the page, then you can always opt in, and then you'll get the audio and the table, and then you can go back to it when you have a few moments. So you have
I like the way you did it. It the first step of commitment was, am I going to take the time to be serious about this?
Yes.
And if you're not, then I don't want to talk to you, as you said.
Well, maybe you just set a time, you know, they're 8-10 minutes. It'll take 10 to 15 minutes total, probably. Yeah.
Well, it was wonderful. Well, look, I have really enjoyed talking to you today. I really appreciate you, going to the effort to show up here in the studio.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted.
It's been great. I have enjoyed taking your assessment, and
thank
I'm
you.
Anxious. I signed up for your newsletter, and I'm
That's
anxious to
nice.
Keep getting your little educational videos and learning more about it. So, and welcome to the Coaching Perspective Radio Show community.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me, Doug.
Great. Well, look, if you've been listening to our podcast, then I want to thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows with other great guests. And speaking of guests, we're always scheduling guests, so if you'd like to be on the show, you can just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com, or when you go to our website, The Coaching Perspective, there's a place there to indicate you want to be put on the newsletter or you'd like to be on the radio show. Why don't you do both? Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. Our goal, as always, is to have discussions that provide you with new ideas and information that you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. I'll be back with you again next week. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFellow.